Chapter 22. After the Burial. Patches of bright blue sky were beginning to appear over the castle turrets, but these signs of approaching summer did not lift Harry's mood. He had been thwarted, both in his attempts to find out what Malfoy was doing and in his efforts to start a conversation with Slughorn that might lead, somehow, to Slughorn handing over the memory he had apparently suppressed for decades.
"For the last time, just forget about Malfoy,"
Hermione told Harry firmly. They were sitting with Ron in a sunny corner of the courtyard after lunch. Hermione and Ron were both clutching a Ministry of Magic leaflet, Common Apparition Mistakes and How to Avoid Them, for they were taking their tests that very afternoon. But by and large, the leaflets had not proved soothing to the nerves. Ron gave a start and tried to hide behind Hermione as a girl came around the corner.
"It isn't lavender," said Hermione wearily.
"Oh, good,"
said Ron, relaxing.
"Harry Potter,"
said the girl.
"I was asked to give you this."
"Thanks." Harry's heart sank as he took the small scroll of parchment. Once the girl was out of earshot, he said, "Dumbledore said we wouldn't be having any more lessons until I got the memory."
"Maybe he wants to check on how you're doing,"
suggested Hermione as Harry unrolled the parchment. But rather than finding Dumbledore's long, narrow, slanted writing, he saw an untidy sprawl, very difficult to read due to the presence of large blotches on the parchment where the ink had run.
"Dear Harry, Ron and Hermione, Aragog died last night. Harry and Ron, you met him, and you know how special he was. Hermione, I know you'd have liked him. It would mean a lot to me if you'd nip down for the burial later this evening. I'm planning on doing it around dusk. That was his favourite time of day. I know you're not supposed to be out that late, but you can use the cloak. Wouldn't ask, but I can't face it alone. Hagrid."
"Look at this," said Harry, handing the note to Hermione.
"Oh, for heaven's sake,"
she said, scanning it quickly and passing it to Ron, who read it through, looking increasingly incredulous.
"He's mental,"
he said furiously.
"That thing told its mates to eat Harry and me, told them to help themselves. And now Hagrid expects us to go down there and cry over its horrible hairy body."
"It's not just that,"
said Hermione.
"He's asking us to leave the castle at night, and he knows security's a million times tighter and how much trouble we'd be in if we were caught."
"We've been down to see him by night before," said Harry.
"Yes, but for something like this," said Hermione. "We've risked a lot to help Hagrid out, but after all, Aragog's dead. If it were a question of saving him,
I'd want to go even less," said Ron firmly. "You didn't meet him, Hermione. Believe me, being dead will have improved him a lot."
Harry took the note back and stared down at all the inky blotches all over it. Tears had clearly fallen thick and fast upon the parchment.
"Harry, you can't be thinking of going," said Hermione. "It's such a pointless thing to get detention for."
Harry sighed.
"Yeah, I know," he said.
"I suppose Hagrid'll have to bury Aragog without us."
"Yes, he will,"
said Hermione, looking relieved.
"Look, potions will be almost empty this afternoon with all of us doing our tests. Try and soften Slughorn up a bit then."
57th time lucky, you think?" said Harry bitterly.
"Lucky?" said Ron suddenly. "Harry, that's it. Get lucky."
"What do you mean?"
"Use your lucky potion."
"Ron, that's it,"
said Hermione, sounding stunned.
"Of course! Why didn't I think of it?"
Harry stared at both of them.
"Felix Felicis?" he said.
"I don't know. I was sort of saving it."
"What for?"
demanded Ron incredulously.
"What on earth is more important than this memory, Harry?"
asked Hermione. Harry did not answer. The thought of that little golden bottle had hovered on the edges of his imagination for some time. Vague and unformulated plans that involved Ginny splitting up with Dean and Ron somehow being happy to see her with a new boyfriend had been fermenting in the depths of his brain, unacknowledged except during dreams or the twilight time between sleeping and waking.
"Harry, are you still with us?"
asked Hermione.
"What?
Yeah, of course, he said, pulling himself together. Well, okay. If I can't get Slughorn to talk this afternoon, I'll take some Felix and have another go this evening.
That's decided then, said Hermione briskly, getting to her feet and performing a graceful pirouette. Destination, determination, deliberation, she murmured.
Oh, stop that, Ron begged her. I feel sick enough as it is. Quick, hide me.
It isn't lavender, said Hermione impatiently as another couple of girls appeared in the courtyard and Ron dived behind her.
Cool, said Ron, peering over Hermione's shoulder to check.
Blimey, they don't look happy, do they?
They're the Montgomery sisters, and of course they don't look happy. Didn't you hear what happened to their little brother? Said Hermione.
I'm losing track of what's happening to everyone's relatives, to be honest, said Ron.
Well, their brother was attacked by a werewolf. The rumour is that their mother refused to help the Death Eaters. Anyway, the boy was only 5, and he died in St. Mungo's. They couldn't save him.
He died? Repeated Harry, shocked. But surely werewolves don't kill. They just turn you into one of them.
They sometimes kill,
said Ron, who looked unusually grave now.
I've heard of it happening when the werewolf gets carried away.
What was the werewolf's name?
Said Harry quickly.
Well, the rumour is that it was that Fenrir Greyback, said Hermione.
I knew it! The maniac who likes attacking kids, the one Lupin told me about, said Harry angrily.
Hermione looked at him bleakly.
Harry, you've got to get that memory, she said. It's all about stopping Voldemort, isn't it? These dreadful things that are happening are all down to him.